So I'm wanting to begin our time together with what happened last week when I finished my talk. I shared a movie, and so I'm going to share the same movie that I shared last Sunday, because it created an energy, and I want to talk about the energy that gets created when we step out of our self system and enter into a dimensional place within ourselves that gives us a glimpse of an alternate reality, so to speak. And we'll unpack that in just a moment. Here it goes. Lights up. There we go. So I'm wanting to invite you to have a conversation with folks that are nearby, and just speak into what bubbles up for you in being in the presence of this energy that just kind of emerged within us, for us. So just turn to somebody nearby and have a conversation as to what just went on, what happens, what we experienced together. Up, it's too bright. Okay. All right, so as you come back together here and kind of connect back up, so what'd you all talk about? What'd you have to say? What was this experience like for you? You felt connected.
Hopeful.
Connected. What else? Right, it's already there in the field of infinite possibilities. It exists. That reality is real. It's just that it hasn't found us yet. What else did you notice? Yes, David.
Our imagination exceeds our reality.
There you go. Right, our imagination can bring us something that our personal reality kind of excludes. Right. Yes. What else? Right, and so as we kind of see, okay, yeah, here are these people that we have such rigid characterizations for, and all of a sudden now, with John Lennon's wondrous song, the legacy that that has given us. Anybody who's kind of been part of the Beatles kind of live in this legacy, that's been our hope. That's what we've represented as a generation, you know, us ex-hippies. And here we all, we've gathered together in Washington, you know, to kind of get our hippie on. You know, finally we have permission to kind of let it really be. Let it be. We have permission to let it be. And you know, I last week when we finished the service and everybody was kind of leaving the sanctuary with this expanded state, and it just caused me to have to ponder, you know, we have such a hunger for this reality that we know is possible, but yet we are so frustrated by what's happening in our world, in our personal life. We seem to be so fixated on what's in the way of things. And so part of my effort in my own personal struggle is to reconcile the part of my journey that is really about bringing this forth. On some level, we have to see that that's part of our work, is to make this a reality, what we've just experienced. But let's focus on the feeling that got created before we kind of let go that that's just a wishful thinking. Let the feeling that we have experienced in watching that is real. And it connects us to a dimension of ourself that's real. And we have to not lose sight of that. Yes, it's not out there in the external yet, and that's what draws us. That it draws us into recognizing that our work is not done until the world works for everyone. That we would trade places with anyone and not feel diminished in that exchange. But that's not going to happen. That's not happening now. But we can feel the possibility. And in the feeling of the possibility, we access a dimension of ourself that is God-made, that is here to be the dynamic that makes the difference, that matters. We have to be capable of imagining and dreaming what is possible, and then feeling connected to that part of ourself that is here to bring it about, and to kind of understand that's our God job. So last Sunday, I left you with a kind of practice that I use when it comes to trying to recognize that there's a part of me that's conditioned to have my life as if it's against me. There's a part of me that is trained to live below the line because that's when I'm most cautious, most into self-protection, most into having to have things be okay or a certain way in order for me to feel safe or empowered. But while that way of being with what we're having kind of protects us in a world of separation, the world of separation is an illusion. It's not the reality. But when we live in that sense of separation as if that's the world in which we have to navigate, then we're locked into our own self system and kind of become a law unto ourselves. We create out of our sense of unworthiness, or create out of our sense of not enough, or our sense that we're not the one. And what gets created is a life that looks and feels against us. But when we recognize that while in our sense of separation, we are somebody, someone, something, somewhere, and sometime, there is a dimension of ourself that transcends that if we can just connect up to it, just like we connect up to that broader feeling when we listen to such a moving song. And so we talked about, or I talked about, an aspect of our being that we can connect up to, this sense that we're not this small self, but that when we recognize we're connected to everyone and everything, everywhere, when we recognize that this is a reality, it's not wishful thinking, this is the current foundation of all of life. We're interconnected, interdependent. And the moment that we step out of our small s self, our limited self, and engage in a sense, a felt sense of feeling connected, then something shifts. We step out of our sense of limitation, out of our self system that has our world as if it's against us, and begin to recognize that there's so much more when we step out of our our sense of personal self, our sense that we're somebody living in a world and having certain experiences, and those experiences become self-defining. So I'm wanting to introduce another aspect of a greater version of ourself that transcends our own sense of separation. And that first is recognizing that we're connected to a bigger dimension of life, that is our sense of oneness, our sense of wholeness. But we're also connected to another dimension of ourself that is infinite and eternal. It's connected to the field of infinite possibilities. And we can describe that dimension of ourself as the part of us that emerges when we step out of a sense of focusing our awareness on our body or our sense of identity, our sense of what our purpose or roles are in the world, or a sense of what our goals are. When we step out of our personal self and into this dimension that is beyond our body-mind, we also experience a dimension of expansion when we're able to open ourselves to a part of us that lives beyond our personal self system, beyond our sense of I or me or mine, into a dimension of ourself that includes the full potential that we can be in this expression of the truth of who we are. We can be anybody. We can be anyone. We can be anything, anywhere, anytime. This is our birthright. This is what we've been created to express. And it's basically what we're called to become and to own, our capacity to be the one unto our world. But we can't accomplish that purpose when we're living inside an encapsulated version of ourself that's defined by our sense of identity, our sense of who we are in the world. Our sense of separate self has no real power to kind of excavate us from this this below-the-line way of being. And so our theme for the last few Sundays has been to really look at the distinction between how we're having our life. Are we living our life above the line or below the line? When we're below the line, we're living in a sense of victim. And when we're above the line, we're living in the field of infinite possibilities. And so to recognize that it's incumbent upon us as spiritual beings to have, to bring consciousness, to bring our awareness, to bring spiritual principles, to bring science, to bring an understanding of our interconnection with all of life, bring all of that to the effort it takes to really be conscious and awake with what we're having. We have to bring it all to the moment so that we can be present to what we're having, not out of a need to control or to have things be a certain way, but to welcome what we're having because it's an ingredient that moves us one step closer to the expression of who and what we've come here to be. And when we recognize that all of life is for us, and that the only times when that's an exception is when we're living below the line, that then we're kind of driven to have things look and feel against us in order for us to feel a kind of a familiarity with ourselves. When we're given a sense of knowing that that's just the conditioned aspect of ourselves, that's just our programming, then we begin the question, how do I live in my life in the context of these principles? Recognizing that if I have something that I've been conditioned to name, this is against me, it's going to be hard for me to be present with that very same thing with a different way of being with it if my entire being has been conditioned to have that moment as if it's against me. So there's a part of my effort that has to be about reconditioning the very circuitry of my perception and meaning making so I take it out of the context of below the line thinking and lift it into the awareness of my connection to all of life or my transcendence to those parts of my own self-imposed limitation. So this theme that we've been talking about is kind of catching fire now. And as I've mentioned, in my coaching practice, we've introduced this idea of where are you, above or below the line. And Unity of New Thought churches all over North America are now studying the 15 commitments and working with this principle of living above the line. And even Jane was mentioning in Science of Mind magazine that Ken Gordon, who is the spiritual leader of Centers for Spiritual Living, had a whole article on the 15 commitments and what we're working with in terms of living above the line. And I just returned from Sacramento last month, and to also introduce to them this whole principle of living above the line. Where are you? Are you below the line or are you above the line? And so I did a whole Sunday talk on it, and what I didn't discover until I arrived there was that this ministry in Sacramento, California, they had their whole board of trustees create a skit around understanding the principles of what it means to live above the line. And so it was a kind of interesting way, a fun, creative way for them to kind of embody what we're all trying to study together. And so I just want to share this video really quick because it kind of gives you another kind of sense of what happens when people start working creatively with the possibilities of living in a state of being, a way of being empowered in the world that can really be transformational. So here it goes. Check it out. The next dimension of the experience of above or below the line will happen in just a few moments. Thank you so much for your attention. This is their board.
I keep an eye on this place of yours and mine. Got to be proactive all the time. There are some days when I feel we lose our minds. So don't whine, stay above the line.
Showing our actions all the time to be successful and to really shine. And yet sometimes we slip and slide and we're not fine. Don't stop and grind, stay above the line.
Watch our
process closely all the time so that our vision and our goals will be aligned. When SLC is successful, it's a sign that we don't whine, stay above the line. We can be kind, stay above the line.
So that was a really fun skit, and it was a way for the leadership of this ministry to really go all in on really embodying the effort it takes to kind of really begin to frame your spiritual, your transformative journey as the effort to be awake. And so when we're below the line, we're typically not awake, we're unconscious, we're living and we're being driven by our patterns and the things that we've been conditioned to react to. And when we're above the line, it requires more effort, more intentionality, more focus. And so these are important principles when we're trying to take ownership and become conscious with respect to being in this world and making a difference. And so before we can really create that world that we can imagine as possible, we have to do our own deeper inner work, because obviously the personalities that we're modeling what we would hope would be the sentiment of all world leaders, that's not who they are yet. And so we have to recognize that there's a process in being able to evolve out of our sense of separation and into a greater understanding and authentic relationship to the all that we're a part of. And that is requires effort, because we've been conditioned to use our attention awareness to make our external experience more real than our capacity to determine our own state. In other words, how we're going to be with what we're having. That's our choice, but our conditioned behavior is that we believe that the external environment tells us how to be or how to feel or who we are. And so we have to flip that. And so part of our effort in all of this is recognizing that, as brain science tells us, that 95% of our behavior is unconscious or reactive. And that means that we are run by the circuitry of our unconscious self system. And just imagine if we were to flip this, if 95% of our behavior was linked to above-the-line behavior, a conscious, intentional effort to really live in the recognition of our interconnection with all of life, but yet at the same time recognize that our whole self, our transformative self, can only emerge is when we step out of our conditioned small sense of who we are. And so if there's a part of us that's unconscious and therefore conditioned, we have trained our body to basically be our mind. And so our habits then become our life, and then we become conditioned to react to life as opposed to decide how we're going to be with what we're having. And that's something that we have to take on. We have to take on the effort of deciding how we're going to be with what we're having, independent of how our life looks and feels unto us. And that requires an effort that lives outside of our conditioned self. And so we have to override the circuitry of separation. We have to override the circuits that keep us locked into scarcity or judgment or struggle. And so it hasn't been until recent years that we could accelerate this transformative process. You know, what we're experiencing in these times is an acceleration of those modalities that can transform our lives even quicker than could be possibly imagined 30 years ago. And so as we apply these methodologies, these new sciences, these new breakthroughs in our sense of and our capacity of really using consciousness to begin to co-create a world that works for everyone, then we have to recognize the deterrence to our being able to use the what we possess as our capacity to be the one unto the world. We have to work with what eclipses that capacity. And so when we're below the line, let us just kind of do a review. We are hardwired to be a certain way with whatever looks and feels against us. And so we become conditioned to function out of our conditioned selfhood, our habits of being, doing, having, feeling, perceiving, and believing. So all of these ways in which our self system organizes its attention and awareness, and therefore its way of being with what we're having in our life, becomes our way, our nature. And when we don't recognize that there's a part of ourself that is conditioned or reactive, or that we're being run by a program, we will try to alter the effects rather than to deal with the source or the cause. So part of the understanding is that if we have tools to help us wake up when we're in the experience or in unconscious below-the-line behaviors, then we'll more rapidly kind of say, oh, I'm below the line, and not spend a lot of time trying to deal with the world when we're below the line. It's not the time to be able to resolve interpersonal difficulty when you're below the line making somebody the matter with you. It's better to work with your interpersonal difficulty when you feel connected, when you feel whole, when you feel like your presence matters. And so we can train ourselves to know that, well, I'm below the line, by recognizing when we're in the habit of scarcity or judgment or struggle. Whenever we're feeling the discomfort of those habits of being, those are indicators that we're below the line, and it's time to connect that to a dimension of ourself that is transcendent to those circuits. So, I'm waiting for my satellite signal to beam up to the planet. So, Dr. Joe Dispenza, which we have been, for myself and for Jane, is a personal mentor for us in the aspect of really being able to understand and identifying the circuits of consciousness that we have to work with, that we have to recondition if we are to transcend the self-imposed limitations of our conditioned way of being. And he describes the process as reconditioning the body to a new mind, the body being including the brain and these circuits. But when we recondition the circuits, we have, instead of our habits of being, doing, and having, we have authentic being, conscious doing, and intentional having. We decide how we're going to be with whatever's happening, as opposed to let what's happening decide what we become. And when we understand that this is simply a shift in how we're using the very same circuits, then we recognize that there's nothing out there that needs to change. It's how we're utilizing our own attention and awareness, retraining how we look out at our life and what we make, what we see mean. And as we begin to understand that there's a whole different operational dimension when we're above the line, then we have to linger above the line in experiences in order for us to kind of have an antidote to our below-the-line conditioned reality and behavior. So here's a picture of a Tai Chi master. And I'm right now privileged of being a student of a Tai Chi master here in Spokane, a seventh generation Tai Chi master from the founder of the Yang style of Tai Chi. And this is a pose, it's called the post pose. And it's a pose that's designed to reset a person's energetic field. And if you just start to do this, you just hold this posture, close your eyes, and just become aware of what is taking place when you do this. Well, after a few minutes, it becomes very tiring. And then what happens is you begin to enter into a dialogue with it within yourself. You know, something like, oh, don't these people know that I'm a fourth degree black belt and I know how to do these things? I'm really good at this. And then, you know, here I am in the class and we're facing the mirrors with our eyes closed and I'm thinking, I'm wondering if anybody else has dropped their arms just yet. I wonder if I just open one eye a little bit and peek. Oh, they're still holding their arms up. I better continue to hold my arms up here. The point is that what'll happen in time is eventually the mind will give up because the body's complaining too much and then I'll have to rest. We'll have to start this again. Then eventually what'll happen is that the mind will eventually eclipse the body's capacity to kind of hold position. And typically what happens if you do this long enough, is according to my teacher's description, is an event that happens very similar to if you drink ayahuasca tea. You pee and poop and vomit when you have when you enter into a that's one of the possibilities if you go that route. But in this particular experience, the very same event happens because there becomes a point where the body and the mind separate. They become two different things. And then if after about 45 minutes, two things happen. You're able to maintain this position until the body quits, and then the body drops and you collapse. Or you experience something, a phenomenon that takes place, and all of a sudden there's no more holding, that your arms begin to float because there is just energy. And that doesn't happen until the circuits reset themselves. So you actually have to go through a physical phenomenon of ever all your circuits releasing and dropping. And I'm working on this. This is a goal of mine, is to be able to hold this position. And I've practiced it enough to know that the benefits of doing this practice have impact, have results. I'm wanting to share now, I'm wrapping this talk up, a quote from Dr. Joe Dispenza. And he says this: if you took your attention off of your body, your life, the things that you own, the people that you know, the places that you go, the concept of time, the only thing you'd be left with is pure consciousness. So I just want you to imagine, if you can for a moment, what it might be like taking your attention off of your body. Just imagine what that might be like. How many of you would feel a little bit of relief if you didn't have to pay attention to what's happening in your body? Okay. And what would happen if you took your attention off of your life? It's like, take no thought. You know? And so there's a place where we can imagine how all of a sudden our sense of self would expand if we just removed our attention away from our life. And what would happen if we'd moved our awareness away from the people that kind of pull at us, and our concept of what we're having to do or accomplish in our own little world, and in the context of our time and where we are? if we could draw our attention away from all that and just be with ourselves, independent of all the things that define us in the context of how we're having our life in this world, but reset ourselves in the awareness of our connection to all of life, our circuits would reset. We would for a moment suspend our entrenchment in the programs that run us and have an expanded experience, just like we had at the beginning of our service today. And so I'm revisiting this slide because it kind of gives us a sense of what are the three dimensions of our conscious self system. If our unconscious self system, its dimensional dynamic is one dimension, dimension I, life is against me, then as we lift ourselves into a dimension where all of life is for us, and therefore we can experience a phenomenon associated with our, the interconnection that the sense of separation inhibits, then we enter into a capacity to draw upon the field of energy that surrounds us and all the forces and the intelligence that live independent of the conditions or situations of the world. Am I making sense?
Yeah.
Okay, because this is kind of out there, and sort of did this. Anyway, let me just finish off with, I've created this slide, and I spent a lot of time in trying to create visuals for myself to kind of help me be clear as to what it is that I'm trying to affect when I'm thinking about transforming my life and applying spiritual practice to my journey. What is it that I'm trying to do? Well, I'm trying to move out of my sense of separation, out of a sense that life happens to me, out of a sense that I'm living in a world that has the capacity to diminish me or eclipse my capacity to fulfill my purpose and passion. But when I understand that that's simply a stage of my development, and I can evolve into a greater expression of who I've come here to be, but I have to recognize the reality that is independent of the veil of separation. And so as I recognize that the transformative journey moves me into having my life, all of it, for me, then I have to be in the struggle of reconciling the places where I'm not feeling that. Okay? If the truth is, it's always for me, and my experience is, I'm pushing something part of it away, I need to recognize I'm pushing that part of my wholeness away. Because it's in me welcoming it all. I guess that's the end of my slides. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Gary. Yeah. Unity stands for peace in the presence of conflict, for love in the presence of hatred, and for forgiveness in the presence